Sure. Can you tell us what is the political decision precisely on OTDS, just to hear from your side? And secondly, is this the last text before these political decisions are done, made?
Well, I think the essential political decision on OTDS is which number you go for OTDS between the range that has been in this document since the original W4. Okay, you've got the range of numbers in W4. I haven't changed that range of numbers in this document, so they have to choose at some point where they are. And frankly, in my process at the officials level, they all kind of know that that's a political decision. I mean, they don't subsequent to W4, they haven't been saying, well, what about 13.1? What about, you know, 16.2? What about 15? Let's split the difference. There's been no serious negotiation. They know that that's a political decision. That's why I haven't changed those two parameters. That's a political decision. Now, ministers could conceivably delegate that.
Can you state what there are?
Well, it's a 13 point, 16.4, I think. You know, run the numbers yourself, but I think that's roughly how they come out, the percentages.
Exactly.
And billions, that is, not dollars, okay?
That's good.
Okay. So that has to be dealt with. Now, will this be the last revision? As I say, I'm in the hands of the members, okay? This is the one that I've done to this point. It represents the best I can do as of today to sum up where the negotiating process has gone. You know, this is not some work of fiction out of my head, or even non-fiction. It's an attempt to actually create on paper what it is I think they've reached. Will that be the last word? That depends. If they have nothing new to say in the period in which I at least have something in the Room E process and the informal negotiating group process to conduct, then I don't have anything new to invent. So it would probably represent the end of the road for me. Probably, okay? But if, and I hope that they have something more to say, and that's what I am trying to create by putting it the way I have in certain areas, then I would presumably be in a position to revise it. I certainly hope I'm in a position to revise it. I think that's what everybody says they want. And as you can see from this document, while they've made huge progress, in my view, since the original document was on the table, they still have a way to go. That will need to be captured appropriately.
John, and then Ravi, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Ambassador. Juan, can you elaborate what is new or not new with regards to cotton? And if you could list the changes that you have made in the text in numbers. I quickly had a look at one page and I saw, for instance, in tariff quota expansion, the countries utilizing the full benefit of that exemption will be asked to pay less than before. You've gone from 4.5 to 6.5 down to 4 to 6. And if you could elaborate on similar changes throughout the text, thanks.
Okay, one. On cotton, I haven't changed cotton. Okay, I don't think there's a basis for me to change the cotton text. I made that very clear. There's no surprises in that. It's not something that's only come out in this document. I made it very clear in the negotiating group, in the revised working documents, that in a situation where I've had no new proposals that are agreeable, the present text stays on the table, and that has remained the case. That said, I'd never want you to get the impression that I'm lazy. I have changed one will to shall in that document, okay? That's the sole change I've made to cotton. So nothing new on that. On the numbers, no, I don't. I haven't changed the 4 to 6% at all. That's still the same on the 4 to 6% on that, unless you've got me something wrong, but
now, no. This is the TRQ expansion.
Yeah, it should still be the same.
Well, the new number is 4.4 to 6, and the previous one, in the older text, was 4.5 to 6.
No, it should have been 4 to 6.
When someone uses one third.
Oh, there's an additional. No, that hasn't changed. The base number's changed. It's still 4 to 6% of domestic consumption. Hasn't changed. Okay, absolutely hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed, I mean, don't ask me to do all of them because my memory's too small. But there are some things that are in there which are different from the previous one. Quite a number of things. When it comes to the deviation from the tariff cut for the sensitive tariff cut, it was implicit in the previous text that you would have a minimum deviation of 1/3 and a maximum deviation of 2/3 from the standard tariff cut you would take. It was always implicit that they weren't the only 2 points, okay? To be honest with you, in the last revision, it was just too damn complicated to be specifying where all the points were. So what I've done is, and this was in the working documents, it's not new, there are three. There's 1/3 deviation, 1/2 deviation, and 2/3 deviation, okay? And each one of those, at each one of those points, because what I've introduced is a midpoint, some members wanted to have a sliding scale, but that's just too obscure for people to cope with. But 3 points is pretty reasonable. And for each one of those, you tailor the amount of domestic consumption you have according to whether you make a 1/3 deviation, a 2/3 deviation, or a half. The 1/3 and the 2/3 have stayed the same. All I've done is introduce the 1/2 in between, which splits the difference between those 2 points, but it's not in any sense detracting from it. I just don't think you can keep slicing the salami beyond those three, but on the other hand, just having 2 deviations was probably, well, it had been pretty clear it wasn't going to be enough.
Clarify, it's less market access than the earlier text.
No.
Half a percentage point
on the
1/3 deviation, isn't it?
No. Same market access. All it's done is it's introduced in the midpoint. There is something else which is in there.
Ravi, and then Dan, please.
To start with, you know, last time when the draft text came, the NAMA chair presented his text first and then you followed it. And this time around, you're doing it first and NAMA chair will come later. We really don't know what is the significance of this change, whether there would be any change in NAMA figures. That apart, all that you have said until now, are you exactly talking about balance within your text or balance between agriculture and NAMA? And second question, I don't have the text, so I can't really comment on the product-specific disciplines. I see that they're almost the same in terms of what you had done in the working documents. Have I to understand that you have now really sort of kept all these issues to be further discussed in the coming days in terms of the base periods, in terms of the specific concessions that were given to the U.S. In the blue box and things like that? And you just now said in cotton that you made one change. Is that the change for the European Union, which was seeking that 1:1 or 1:2? If you could clarify on that, it will be good.
Okay.
Then on special products.
Well, you managed to get about 5 in under one question. Okay. You must have been a trade negotiator once. The significance of me going first before Don. Well, you know, we'd actually toyed with the idea that actually I could come and talk about NAMA and he could come and talk about agriculture. But, you know... We toyed with that, but not for very long. No, it's just turn and turn about, you know. We're just such decent, honourable people. We just thought it was time to turn around the other way. There's nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that the NAMA text seems to have got a bit delayed on the website by 30 minutes, so you don't have much choice because you haven't actually got the text yet. No, we just thought it was time to do it the other way around. Don't look for hidden meanings on that one, Ravi, okay? There's no great hidden meanings there, okay? Now, on the balance between them, well, you know, I've got to reflect. I've only got a mandate to speak about mine, okay? The members can judge whether the balance that exists between NAMA and agriculture is the correct balance or not. They all, in their respective negotiating groups, are adopting positions which reflect their view on what the balance should be, okay? I mean, it's not as if they're saying, well, okay, here's my position on agriculture and here's my position on NAMA, but I'm going to adopt a negotiating position on agriculture, which is totally different from what my real position on agriculture is, and when I'm in the ag negotiating group, and then when I come out of it, I'm going to have a different position. I don't think they're doing that. So what I'm hearing when I listen to agriculture, I don't think is independent of what their judgment is on the balance. So what I'm hearing, I hope, reflects their views on the balance, and I don't have to step outside the process to try and get that right. So if I've got that wrong, it's because I haven't been listening to them in agriculture, okay? And we'll see whether I've got that wrong or not. And ditto, I presume, for Don. But as for whether, when you read across it, that balances seem to be there, that's for the members to decide. Okay, and we'll see what the judgment is on that. On the product specific stuff, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, as I said to you at the beginning, I don't want there to be any real surprises. There's no real surprises. I mean, I'd love there to have been surprises, but they wouldn't have been such, because I would have had a discussion in the negotiating group which gave me more to go on. But I think on product specific, whether on AMS or Blue Box, the choices are pretty constrained and they're pretty clear in terms of what the base period is, in terms of what the ceilings would be. As I'm fond of saying, you know, on a wet Sunday afternoon in Geneva, people with a good will could actually do this in an hour or two. Okay, so they know what the straight political choices are on that stuff. Now, there are some more technical issues which I do think it would be healthy to try and close out in the next little while, and there are a couple of them in the text, particularly in the way in which the blue box relates to the amber box as far as product-specific disciplines are concerned. You'll find two new square brackets, for those of you who are aficionados of all this stuff, in the document, which were not in the previous working documents, and how the blue box relates to the AMS product-specific, because I think I want to provoke a discussion on something that wasn't clear. Okay, I don't have the answer to that. I just want to provoke that discussion so we can clear it up and make sure there are no, you know, bits of undergrowth.
Which paragraph?
I don't have the text. You don't have the text. Gee, you know, you guys want everything handed on a plate, don't you? You know? All of this has been renumbered so many times. Let me just see if I can find it. Market access. Domestic support. It's paragraphs 47 and 48, okay? But just to give an example, okay, why there are things in there. And then on cotton, there's no change to cotton. As I said, the only change is from will to shall. The EU made its position clear about what it was able to do, and that's fine. But that as a general proposition, that I don't think works for the other member. Well, it might work for the other member, but it doesn't work as a general approach. And we had that discussion. It's not something that is a great secret. We had that discussion in the negotiating group. And the EU has an approach which it thinks is basically it can go to zero in AMS, but it wants to have 350 million or thereabouts in the blue box. But there's no way you could generally write that would work for all the members, i.e., which would also work for the US and the C4. Okay? So, we note that. You can note that, but I don't have a basis to revise a text to say, well, the EU methodology works, because that EU methodology applied to the US leads to some pretty big numbers, and even the US hasn't proposed that, let alone the C4 accepted it. So in those circumstances, I don't have any other general approach right now, which I think is the right approach, other than what the C4 have done, which clearly is very effective. But I don't think anybody's ignored that the EU has come forward, at least, with a proposal which is very concrete for them.
Special products, sorry.
Ravi, this is about your seventh.
What was your question on special products?
Frankly, there's no question, because all the numbers almost remain the same. But the
Okay, Ravi, we're going to go to Dan now. Dan.
Thanks, Keith. Chairman, I just want to be clear, and I think everyone else wants to be clear. This text doesn't change any of the headline numbers from your original text, correct?
Right.
And it would be fair to describe this as maintaining those headline numbers while incorporating the working papers you've done on each of these issues. Would that be correct?
I think that's largely the case. Okay. It's largely the case, except that there was no working paper on SSM.
Which brings me.
You'll see there's some changes to the SP paper and so on, and I have introduced something which in a certain sense is a headline number, which is a minimum overall cut for developed members on the tariffs, which is 54%. Okay, that had been around in the past, it dropped out, I've put it back in again. Okay, it's not hugely significant, but it's a single kind of number which is in there as a minimum to be symmetrical with what the maximum is for developing members. So that's in there as a bit.
Sorry,
different.
That's under the market access
yeah.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, if I may then, on the sensitivities issues, the sensitive products, special products, SSM, as you said, with the exception of the SSM, these incorporate your working documents. Basically, you're not changing a whole lot from your working documents on SPs and sensitive, right?
That's right. Not a lot. Not a lot. There are some changes, but they reflect the discussion that we had on the basis of those documents, and they're not a million miles away from it. I've tried to incorporate some changes on the sensitives to reflect some of the discussion that we've had, and the SP is expressed in a rather slightly different format. But, for instance, on the SP, you know, the key choices are pretty much the same as were in the working document. How many, if any, special products do you have no tariff cuts on?
And the new element.
The choice is between 0 and 8%.
Okay? And the new element is the SSM.
The SSM is newly expressed, but it doesn't. The SSM didn't exist before as a working document. I think that the structure that is there is an attempt to reflect the discussion that we had, a pretty intensive discussion we had on the SSM, but I didn't do a working document on SSM to reflect that. Now it's gone straight into the document as best as I can ascertain it. But again, I don't think to anybody who's in the negotiating group there's anything particularly novel that they wouldn't have heard in the discussion that we had. And it presents, I hope, you know, differences that are still there and are unresolved. I haven't tried to artificially bridge them.
Isabel, please.
Ambassador, if the context of this text has not almost changed, it means in political terms that negotiations remain in the at the same stage that they were 7 months ago. And secondly, do you think that it's wishable or probable minister meet in Geneva in March, April, or even later?
Well, I think the text, don't get me wrong, on the contrary, I think the text is a considerable way in advance of where we were 7 months ago, okay? Some of the headline numbers haven't changed because the big political decisions are kind of relatively clear-cut, but I think overall we're a long way away, a long way in advance of where we were then, because a whole lot of other issues which were kind of way behind are now up at the same level of decision-making, and that reflects the progress in the negotiating group, not some kind of drafting cleverness, just simply the way in which the negotiations have advanced. So yes, I believe that this text is as actual fact a significant advance on that, and it can be judged by the progress that's been made on all the other stuff that was basically stuck since then. I am obliged in my process to try in the next week or so, next couple of weeks, to squeeze those areas for decision making even further, precisely so that we can be in a position to have ministers together. What is it they said they wanted to be here around April, around Easter, so that if they decide they want to do that, they can have something manageable. So the answer to your question depends on the progress they make with me in the next little period, and whatever they do after they say farewell to me in the Rumi process. In principle, yes, of course, I believe it can be done, but it's in the hands of the members to keep that process of progress going forward. But if they all say politically they want to do it, then I'll take them at their word.
Questions?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Before Ravi asks, does anyone else want to ask a question? No? Can you keep this to one question, please, Ravi?
You just now said that there was no working document on SSM, and I just saw the figures that you gave in the square brackets on SSM. Basically, they reflect both the US and the G33 proposals. Is that correct? Because 105 is what the US was saying long time ago, and that 135... Am I wrong or right on this?
Well, I mean, I don't know what 105 you're referring to, but the US wouldn't have ever used 105 if you meant paragraph 128A. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, the low numbers reflect the G33 proposal.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, every kind of lower number you can see there is pretty much the G33's position, and the higher number is an amalgam, as my best effort to ascertain where everybody else who doesn't like the G33 position is roughly at. Okay, they haven't been quite so precise and uniform in their position, but I've tried to express a range which is not absurdly wide for each of these elements upon which, you know, the key parties don't feel they're being, you know, salamied out of the negotiation. So the range within which they'd have to make decisions is somewhere between those numbers. Okay?
Okay.
That's thanks. All.
Jamil and then John, please.
Sorry, sir. Again, since we've heard now that the coefficient for NAMA is the same as well, and since there was strong criticism before by countries that the two texts were not balanced, aren't we back to the same position that they simply are not balanced?
Well, I ain't here to answer a NAMA questions, but...
No, it's not a NAMA question. It's a question of balance between them. Aren't you worried that perhaps the same criticisms that were done 7 months ago, that they were not balanced, will still be there because actually both texts haven't changed?
I don't know the answer to that. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes, Ambassador, just for the record, can you clarify, you said not many of the headline numbers have changed. Have any changed, and can you point them out? And your text as it stands now, you said it's an improvement on the negotiation process. Does it enhance the possibility of improving market access in international markets compared to the earlier text or not?
Well, on the big kind of headline numbers on OTDS and the market access stuff, no, there's no basic change apart from the one that I mentioned to Dan, which I don't think makes a huge difference overall to the situation, but it does. It's an element that wasn't there before, which is the overall average cut for developed members of 54%. Okay, and if whatever we end up with for the overall tariff cut numbers in each of the tiers means that for a developed member they don't get to the overall average of 54%, they've still got to find a way to get to that overall average of 54%. Okay, so that's now there. Okay, I never felt that there was a strong need to stick that in, because when you have a range, I think the more serious way to go about it is to sort out your range and then decide whether the average that results from that precise range is the right one. But I felt, based on the discussion that we had in the negotiating group, that there was such a strong feeling that people wanted to see that, because they were afraid that meant there was some kind of greater precision for developing members rather than developed members, that it was better to put it in. Okay, that's there. So that, in a certain sense, is there. But the big numbers on AMS, Blue Box, and OTDS, the headline numbers, haven't changed. The same political choices are there. The same clear-cut political choices are there. But I think on the market access side, you are in a better state than you were when W4 hit the decks than you were at the time it hit the decks, for three reasons. One, politically, nobody moved away from what were at that stage highly speculative propositions on what the market access would be, okay? De facto or explicitly, that range has been accepted. It's been accepted now. This is for the tiered tariff cuts, and I'm talking for developed members and essentially for developing members. The tiered tariff cuts have been accepted in the political process. Now, nothing's done till it's done. But you've had now 6 months where they are, if you like, in negotiating terms, pretty well seriously on the table. They weren't when that text hit the table. Secondly, in the more technical sense, we now have, on the drearily technical stuff on tariff quota administration, on in-tariff quota rates, on the way in which the calculation will be done for tariff quota access, you've now got a greater degree of precision, which gives you a greater degree of assurance that at the next layer down, there'll be real gains for that. Okay? Third, on the areas of special products and SSM, I think we're in a much clearer position now to take straight political decisions on what, for developing members, the outcome will be. Now, it's true, on those, that decision could be relatively moderate, or it could be more positively construed. But where we were 6 months ago was it was a great big nothingness. Okay, so I think in those areas there is an improvement. But above all, and I think it's an editorial comment, there's a much, you know, when that paper came out, W4, it was out in a complete vacuum. I had no idea whether that was going to sink or swim. Most of it has survived. So in that sense, politically, over that period of time, the market access possibilities that are there, and you're looking at some interesting headline numbers, okay, are still on the table, and not only on the table in a technical sense, they're being seriously addressed. They're not agreed, but nobody's spitting the dummy over any of that stuff over a period of several months. So it's real in a way it wasn't 6 months ago. Very real. And you only have to look at the boring data these guys are producing on how they calculate their tariff quota access. You know, they're right down to the level of detail on... I'm finding things I didn't even know existed, like spent chickens. You know, they're right down to figuring out what they're going to do with spent chickens. Now, you might say, is that what we're back to? But that is a sense that they're serious, okay?
Last question, please, just here.
I want to ask about the possibility of a second revision. I understand it depends on the progress in the Loom-E, but if you decided to have a second revision, would it be before or after the horizontal process will going to kick in, the possibility of the second revision?
Oh, look, I don't know. I don't know. I can't see the point of me doing a second. I don't think I would be doing a second revision once the horizontal process was underway. Okay, I'm ancient history by then. Okay, I'm ancient history already, but I would be decrepit by then. So I presume that if there's anything that comes from me, it would be before what I call a real horizontal process. I mean, if you have a horizontal process, I'm kind of there, you know, as a spectator. Okay, but in terms of the chaired process that I'm responsible for, that's what I'm responsible to, not to a horizontal process. I mean, I'm the chair of the negotiating group, so as chair of the negotiating group, that would only happen when that negotiating group is operating. Okay, now, when there's a horizontal process, I've got no way of knowing whether that horizontal process continues till the bitter end or whether it stops and you go back to the negotiating group, but that's entirely speculative, which is why I don't know. But in a normal world, you get to the negotiating group at some point, you pull a stop to it and it goes horizontal and then it gets taken out of my hands. So what I think I should do and what I hope I'm in the position to do is, if the members are happy to keep going in the negotiating group and make progress in the negotiating group, then I can do a further revision that can contribute to the horizontal process, which then would be subsequent to that. But as I say, that's my best guess. It's not a prediction.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ambassador Faulkner.